Okay. All right. So here we are once again. We're going to talk about water. Before we do, let's see where we get the laws of health from. This is the creation week at a glance. Day 1, 2 through 7. Do you remember what God created on day number 1?
Light and
darkness. Day number 2?
Water. Day number 1 was water.
Okay. Day number 1?
Night and day.
Night and day. Day number 2?
Ocean and land.
Huh?
Is it like ocean and land?
What does this look like?
A sky.
Oh. Okay, the firmament, right, the heavens or the skies. Okay, day number 3, what does this look like?
Trees. A tree.
Mm-hmm. Day number 3, the earth, the sea, and food. Okay. Alright, day number 4, it's a giveaway.
So,
the sun,
the moon
and the stars. Mm-hmm. Alright, day number 5.
Let's see.
The fish.
Birds and the fish. Birds of the air and the fish in the water. Day number 6.
Crawling beasts.
Day number 6.
Man.
We got men. And animals, the beasts of the field. And day number 7?
Rest day.
What did he create on day number 7?
Nothing.
Huh?
He rested.
Okay, the 7th day he rest, and he sanctified it, he set it apart for sacred use. And that is called the Sabbath. So that's the week of creation. Now, there has to be a reason why he created in such logical order. He did not create man on day number 1. How would man survive on day number 1? How would man survive instead if he created man on day number 2? Probably walk on the water, because the earth and the sea was created on day number 3. See what I'm saying? So there's a logical sequence. So what can we learn from the idea of night and day? What's the implication for night? What do you do at night?
Rest.
Alright, so the idea of night suggests rest. The Creator wanted us to be able to rest. Okay? Alright, and then on day number 2, He created the firmament. What's the implication there? What's in the firmament? What's up there? Air. What's in the air?
Oxygen.
Okay. The air in day number 2, oxygen, and your nitrogen, and your other gases. Okay. And day number 3, the nutrition. You created man's food on day number 3. And what was man's food on day number 3? Fruits, nuts, and grains, and seeds. Fruits, nuts, grains, and seeds. Alright, vegetables added after sin. Alright, day number 4. Sunlight. Sunlight is very necessary for our health. No life would exist on planet Earth without sunlight. See what I'm saying?
So I thought it was sun created first day because they had life.
No, it was just light. Sometimes it's light outside without the sun.
So it's very big sun and moon.
Yeah, the fourth day is sun, moon and stars. And day number five, well, day number six, temperance, he established the idea of temperance. When he made man, he gave man dominion, rulership, government over himself and over all of the creatures that he had created. Okay? And he also, on the once man was created, he gave man exercise. Man was created for exercise, the evidence is the presence of muscles and the veins. Because the only way the blood circulates in the vein is by the muscular action of movement. So activity was very important and very necessary, how the Creator made us. Water, there was plenty of water in the garden when man was created. Four rivers got started from the Garden of Eden. Four huge rivers. So there was an abundance of water available for man, and furthermore, 70-80% of our body is water. So naturally, we're built to run on water. And the crowning act of it all was that we were created to have a relationship with God, to know God. We were His temple, and He gave us a whole day saying, I bless this day and for you to rest and just focus and meditate upon me. You see what I'm saying? Now, if the devil comes to you and says, no, God made sunlight on day number one, would that be true? Can we change now at this point in Earth's history and say, well, I don't like where sunlight is on day number four. Let's teach people that sunlight was made on day number one. Would that be correct? Can you do that for any one of these things that God created? Can you change the day and say, okay, for example, the Sabbath. Can you say the Sabbath was made on day number one or day number two? Would that be correct? No, because it was made on this day. Air was made on the second day. Nutrition on the third day. So you can't come and tell me nutrition was made on day number five. That would not be correct. Historically. Alright, so just a case in point. And we were created to glorify God, alright? So He put man in a garden to dress it and to keep it. So the environment that God made for man in the beginning was an environment out in nature, in the perfect state. So what would be the best place for man to live and to dwell today?
In nature,
or in a garden, yeah, or in nature at least, you know. I mean, we may not be able to dwell outside of a building, but at least if we put our building out in nature, in the country, and that's going to be more closer to God's original plan than if we had a building in the concrete jungle.
Because
when you're out in nature, you get to spend time in meditation upon God. You know, all the things of nature ministers to your spiritual being and brings you into a close relationship with God. You see what I'm saying? So that's the best environment. So these are the eight laws that we'll be talking about. Man's home in nature. And once again, here we have it from this point of view. And the crown, the essential theme was that we were to know God. and to glorify Him in all things that we do. And so once man had that relationship with God, he was able to function more in harmony with the laws that govern his being. See, he drank his water, he'd get rest when night came, he breathed plenty of fresh air, he didn't have his waist all tight so he couldn't even take a deep breath. He drank his water. Temperance happens to be very important. This verse says, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." So self-control, temperance, is like a wall of protection round about us to keep us from wearing out too quickly, too fast. Athletes, they burn so much energy, they wear out too fast, too quickly. And people who just, because a little exercise is good, just go overboard with it, can end up wearing out faster if their efficiency at getting the nutrients from the food is not good. You get a balanced intake without goal. Okay? Alright. Nature was God's lesson book. Alright, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of His mouth. You know, everything that God created was on the basis of math. Everything is an expression, a math. You're a carpenter, you know you can't build anything without math, right? Even a seamstress can't do it without math. Whatever the situation that we do, we need math. That's the language. I'm going to show you here how God created the universe on a basis of math. Sit back and listen to 6 minutes worth of it.
Should we get our loan first?
Yes, please. Yes, please. Okay, let me. I'll set this here now. Okay, it's 2 minutes off. So by the time you come back, what time is your watch saying?
It says 9:59.
What time is 9:59? Okay, 9:59. I will. Okay, here you go. Find out at that point what time you were leaving today, because the places said they could have gotten it there on Wednesday, but I wanted to find out what time you were leaving Wednesday morning early and all of that, but I wasn't able to. Now, but as for yourself, isn't it possible to mail things to England? Okay. Now, but as far as where you're concerned, you can get you some calcium and some potassium in a health food store over there. And usually, that will stop the situation. And just keep my number, and if anything, you can call me from over there when you get over. What time are you leaving? 2 hours' time. You know, I was also thinking in Nashville. You going to Nashville Airport? Oh, Atlanta. Well, you know, in Atlanta, there's lots of health food store in Atlanta. I will call and try to locate a health food store where you may be able to just swing by and pick up at least the orotate, the zinc orotate. I'll call and find out. Okay. And, but is this the only number I can reach you on?
If we look at the details of nature, one thing stands out. This is the order, the patterns, the symmetry that surround us. You can see it in a flower, or a snowflake, or even a seashell.
Okay, so this...
What we are seeing is intelligent design,
okay.
Which
so
may be described as God's fingerprints upon nature.
Okay.
One of the more fascinating man relationships was first described back in medieval times, 8 centuries ago. The scholar's name was Leonardo Fibonacci, an outstanding Italian mathematician.
How God created the world in numbers.
And one in particular. he generated a long list of numbers by, in each case, adding together the two previous numbers. You can begin with a 2 and a 3. You add them together and you get 5. Now add 3 and 5 to get 8. Then add 5 and 8 to get 13. The Fibonacci sequence keeps going like this. 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, 21, 34, 55, 89, 144, and so on. What Fibonacci realized was that this elegant list of numbers describes many items to be found in nature. For example, flower petals.
L'exemple des pétales d'une marguerite. Il n'y a pas de hasard au nombre de pétales d'une marguerite.
Non, oui, absolument. Le nombre des pétales de marguerite est en fait inscrit dans un scénario qu'on pourrait qualifier de scénario cosmologique, c'est-à-dire que tout a été prévu au départ. Et que là, le nombre de pétales, c'est incroyable.
Il n'y a pas de
pétales,
mais il
n'y
a pas de marguerite avec 27 pétales, ça n'existe pas.
Il n'y a pas de pétales, mais il n'y a pas de
marguerite avec 27 pétales. C'est pas possible. C'est pas possible. Et le nombre de pétales de marguerite est réglé par une loi mathématique qu'on appelle la suite de Fibonacci.
But there is a mathematically precise structure to the universe and everything in it. One everyday example of this precision can be found in the plants. Many plants, including elm trees, grow their leaves, twigs, and branches placed exactly halfway around the stem from each other. Next in the series are plants like the beech tree, with leaves placed one third of the way around the stem from the previous leaves. Third in the series are the plants like the oak, with leaves placed at every two-fifths of a turn. The holly plant is the next at 3/8, while the larch trees are the next at 5/13, and the sequence goes on and on. Notice the number sequence of these fractions. 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, and so on. Each number is the sum of the two numbers which came just before it in the sequence. This particular mathematical pattern is called the Fibonacci series.
Take, for example, the sunflower. The display of its florets are in perfect spirals of 55, 34, and 21. The sequence of Fibonacci. The fruitlets of the pineapple creating this same spiral based on the sequence. The pine cone does the same. As currents move through the ocean and the tide rolls onto the shore, the waves that ring in the tide curve into a spiral that can be mathematically diagrammed onto a plot at the points 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, 21, 34, and 55. Buds on trees, sand dollars, starfish, petals on flowers are formed with this exact same blueprint. This blueprint can be seen around us on a small scale every day, but the greatest example of all is directly above our heads. At an average of 100,000 light years across, even the spiral of the galaxies above us are formed with the exact design. This sequence, our blueprint, appears to be the trademark of a designer, a proof of a creator.
Also known as the golden mean, the divine proportion is a mathematical formulation exhibited in everything from the double helix of DNA.
The DNA molecule, the code for life, is made up of two intertwining spirals. We find the 0.618 ratio between the helix's width and cycle length
to the form of the human body itself.
Do something like measure the distance from the floor to your navel, and then from your navel to your head. If you're well proportioned, the ratio should be 1 to 1.618, and that ratio is seen all over the beautiful body.
People started noticing, and artists noticed, that the width of the man had a beautiful face, for example.
Yeah.
Not in any face, but it had to be beautiful. If the face was beautiful, the width of the mouth was exactly 1.618 times the width of the nose.
Right.
If the face wasn't beautiful, that wasn't the case. Dentists, in their dental work, noticed that the upper front tooth was 1.618 times as wide as the next tooth over, the lateral incisor. So the central incisor was 1.618 times the width of the lateral incisor, the next tooth over.
What if you give me some more example?
But your fingers are each called phalanges, and each bone of the finger is called phalanx. And the phalanx, the closest to your knuckle here, is 1.618 1.618 times the phallus that's in the middle, and that's 1.618 times the length of the phallus at the end with your fingernail. So that was kind of amazing. This number would come up over and over again.
Then we find the Fibonacci ratio in heart muscles, in bronchial tube bridge, even in the electrical potential of neurons, and as Roger Penrose pointed out, even in the arrangement of the brain's microtubules.
As we scan our universe from the tiny flower to the awe-inspiring galaxy, we see the fingerprint of God.
Think it'd give us some light back. See, everything was made on a mathematical frequency. Everything that God made. So like he says, 1.618 from your floor to your navel versus from your navel to right here, to your head. If you're properly ratioed, fingers, your teeth. It's amazing. For example, your waist versus your neck. If you I go to buy clothes, pants, I take the pants, I button it, and then pull it like this here, wrap it around my neck. If it meets right around my neck, then it will meet all the way around my waist. I never have to use a tape measure. So let's say this is the pants. Okay, I have it buttoned. It's buttoned. Okay, this way. You got it buttoned, and then I put it all the way around.
It's not gonna
fit. This one won't fit.
It doesn't work out.
If it goes all the way around and meet at the back. It meets at the back to the same tightness, that's exactly how it's going to be around your waist. Okay? So remember that.
It's so crazy in the store, like putting pants around your neck.
They don't understand what you're doing at all. That's what I always do.
Like,
same thing for dress. Skirts, same way. If you want to know what the size of the waist is, put it around your neck. Okay?
I'll go upstairs and check my pants.
Yeah, you go check it out and you see what happened. Okay, so there's a mathematical equation for perfect health as well. Everything is based on math. Here's the equation for perfect health, in which all the nutrients and minerals are in proper ratio within the system. Disease symptom of any kind does not show up. Okay? And once again, these are the numbers, the sugars, the pHs, the salts, cell debris, and the nitrate and ammoniacal nitrogen. This is a mathematical equation for perfect health. Okay? And variations from this here indicate different ailments affecting the human body. Alright, so we don't have to guess at anything, we just simply try to balance the chemistry. Alright?
Wait.
Might as well take a picture.
It's a good one, I should have grown
myself. Huh?
I should have grown myself in here.
Yeah, you could take a picture. I've seen them doing it in class all the time.
Same number.
Urine pH. and then the saliva pH 6.4 and 6.4.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this, the basis of this is physics, math, chemistry, anatomy and physiology, and biophysics, and love for God. That's how these numbers came about. Not by population average. You know, you take a multitude of people and you do some statistics and you come up with a number. No, that's not how this came about. This is science in its fullest extent. Alright. So these numbers will tell how far from perfect health a person is, the direction that is needed for a person to gain perfect health, whether the body is cooperating or not, whether the body is getting well or not. That's what these numbers essentially tells. Okay? That's very important. Regardless of whose program you're on, you can tell whether the body is getting well or not. It must be revealed in the numbers. Okay. So God says, let us make man in our image. So once again, if we live our lives in harmony with God's original plan, the result is health. Perfect health. So here we have it. Our key is to know God and live to glorify Him. Adam and Eve in their garden experience was in obedience to all the laws that govern their being. So in this instance, we're going to talk about water, H2O, hydrogen, iron, and oxygen, and another hydrogen, iron. That's water. Water was on the face of the earth in the beginning, and gathering together the waters he called seas, and there are four rivers that proceeded forth out of the Garden of Eden. Revelation 22:1 says, and he showed me a pure river of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Just think about that for a moment. A river coming forth from the very throne of God. Let your mind wrap around that. The head of the river is His throne. It's proceeding forth and coming forth from His throne. So who we worship and serve? And that water is so charged with energy that it causes the tree of life to produce 12 manner of fruits every month. See what I'm saying? If you get bored of one fruit down here, just wait. We get 12 manner of fruit just on one tree. Wow. So water is a catalyst, okay? Water is the single most important commodity that we put in our mouth. It is a catalyst. It facilitates chemical reaction without necessarily being a part of the final union. If there's no moisture, then the life processes within the cell is decreased or non-existent. Okay. The kidneys especially need water in order to filter the blood. Now the governor for moisture is carbon in all biological life. It holds 4 times its weight. carbon is a governor for moisture. So naturally, when sugars go low, the carbon goes low, and your body don't hold the water like it normally would. So as your sugars go low, and if urinating more frequently. Okay? There's your water molecules. Notice carbon is made up of six carbon H2211, six carbon and 11 water molecules. Six carbon, 11 water molecules. That's what carbohydrate is. Plus lots of trace minerals. Some of the lessons from nature, humus, for example. You know what humus is? Humus you use in the garden? The carbon is available as humus in the garden. It determines the depths of the topsoil and the level of magnetism and the moisture holding capacity of the soil. So carbon in the soil determines the moisture holding capacity of the soil, and as well as the magnet or the electrical energy flowing through the soil. You see what I'm saying? So carbon determines the moisture and magnetism. The magnetism results from the flow of current, which is determined by the presence of electrolyte. When we're dehydrated, this level of electrolytes go up. Same thing in the soil. In the soil, it will cause too much current to flow and prevent the rootlet from attracting the energy. In our bodies, too much electrolytes creates lots of problems. Let me show you. So low sugar, frequent urination, pale color urine. High sugar, also a frequent urination. If the person did not urinate frequently at high sugar, they would die. Concentrated urine, too much water held within the system. So your kidneys, more efficient recycling than the International Space Station. It doesn't have any moving parts, but it is very efficient. Water in your brain. Water makes up 70% of each of the 10 to 13 trillion cells in our brain. How many cells you got in your brain? Huh? Water makes a dehydrated brain begins to shrink like a plum gradually turning into a prune. See? Water can reduce your chance of heart attacks. Heart attacks are highest in the pre-dawn hours when the blood is thicker, because people are most dehydrated. And after that evening meal, whether I do steak and potato, high protein, oh man, it sets the stage for those who would have a heart attack to have it around that time. Water loss in chronic dehydration. 66% is water loss from water held in some cells. 26% is loss from water volume held outside of the cells. 8% is loss from water held in the vascular system. Okay, so water has different level of purity. Okay, you got fluorine water, purified water, distilled spring water, reverse osmosis well water, and then on top of all of these, you have high energy water, you have low energy water, you have high, medium, and low energy water. Based on how much energy the water molecules present to you, there's a variable. And this little pH TDS machine is often used to measure the total dissolved solid in the water. Alright. So water is hard or soft based upon the amount of TDS, total dissolved solids, in the water. The lower the TDS, the softer the water. The lower the amount of particles in the water, the softer it is. The higher the amount of particles in the water, the harder it is, because for it to carry all of those, there's a reaction that occurs, and in the reaction, energy is lost.
So it's better to drink soft?
Soft water. Read that for me. So, hard water do not lather very well. You know hard water? It is dry water. It's low energy water. It has had too much reaction and, you know, it's just hard. And you can see that, in some faucets, you will see the buildup of calcium, lime, in the faucets, and show you how hard that water is. In a large water pipe, same issue. The higher the TDS, the greater the amount of dissolved particle in the water. But the higher the amount of calcium and magnesium, the chief hardness factor, the harder the water. Soft water will have the least amount of stuff to clog up the pipeline. Soft water is, for example, distilled water. You know, it rains down on the earth, the water condenses, evaporates, and when it gets up there, it condenses, and it comes back down as rain. And that's nature's soft water. That's natural distillation. So which water is best for you to drink? Which water is best for you to drink?
You said soft water. Does that mean it's filtered?
Soft water could be like distilled water. That's as soft as it gets. So you want to drink the purest water. And some of the methods of purification have their individual virtue. You get the bottled water, carbon filtered water, reverse osmosis, water wise distiller, removing every particle out of the water. Reverse osmosis is a good process too. But all the other ones that don't remove everything. When people's life are on the line, you want to do the best you can. Okay. These are some various waters found on the market, and they're tedious. Distillation of rainwater, according to Wikipedia, since calcium ion and magnesium ions are non-volatile oil, they can be removed by distilling the water. Distillation is too expensive in most cases. Rainwater is soft because it is naturally distilled during the water cycle of evaporation, condensation, and precipitation.
But isn't rainwater acidic?
It may have a low pH, just like distilled water.
They can use rainwater as a base.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But except that it's kind of contaminated now because of what's going on up there. But as a natural example, it is.
And you got some stream in the mountain coming with the rock. Is it good water too?
Mm-hmm.
Is it? You got in your farm, you got maybe one spring,
Yeah, that's good.
Inside the earth, the rock, is good.
Yeah, that's good.
But rainwater is better.
Yeah. You can drink your water.
Yeah, thanks.
My dear, hope you're well, and please do let me know if you've got any time today to have a talk. Speak soon. Bye.
It's an English accent.
I like that.
From England, yeah.
I like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was at camp meeting.
Camp meeting here?
No, Moses Mason camp meeting and in Georgia. It's a great camp meeting. You ought to come next year. It's normally in August. That's where we were when you called. Mm-hmm. It's really good.
Is that at meet?
No, meet is having there. It's in a couple of weeks. In a couple of weeks here.
So this is a different one.
Yeah, that's a different one. I'll give you some information on it.
Also, do you get some brochures of yours?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to forget that.
Yeah.
But if you cook water, then it's not, it tastes different. Once you boil it, then it's, there's a lot of minerals come out, or, you know, reference.
Not really. If you cook it, you just concentrate the minerals that are in it. You tend to concentrate because you're boiling off water. Mm-hmm. You see? So whatever is left is more concentrated.
But is that good to drink?
No. It's not the best.
If you catch
the steam up here now and let it condense after you boil it off, then you got distilled up here. Okay?
So then you just have to have a good filter.
Yeah, a good filter, good distiller. Distiller is a great investment. You see? Alright. The presence of certain metal ions in water causes a variety of problems. These ions interfere with the actions of soap. They also lead to buildup of limestone, which can foul plumbing and galvanic corrosion. In industrial scale water softening plant, effluent flow from the generation process can precipitate scale that can interfere with sewage system. These are things that was in the fluid. So then the distilled water then is the softest, it is the greatest, most efficient water. It's the high energy water, and so it will do a more efficient job at building and cleansing when we're putting it in our body. Okay? We usually liken distilled water to like a cargo car train. You know, that's empty. So if you liken like this one here versus this one, this is all filled up. Which of the two can hold more luggage, more cargo? Are you sure? Huh? Are you positive?
Well, this one is full already, so how much more can you put in?
Right. So you were right.
You were just trying to trick you.
Well, I was just thinking, they can hold the same amount, but if you're speaking in addition, that would...
Yeah.
But I think it's...
Just like it is, if this one can't hold no more, this one has the capacity to hold a bunch. And thus, it can carry more stuff, and that's what distilled water is. It's empty. It has more space to absorb, to react, and to cleanse, as well as the body uses it more efficiently to build.
Can you not use like the minerals from hard water?
The minerals from hard water, you compromise in your water though, because you need the soft water. If you use hard water which has the minerals, then it's going to throw off your system. You don't usually want to drink real hard water.
It's just like mineral water, that sounds good for you.
Now you want water. When you want minerals, where do you get minerals? Food. See what I'm saying?
Not in water. Eat food.
Not water. Food. You eat food to get mineral. Yeah.
Because my friend, he said that they have 5 kids. He said first 3 kids that they have were drinking water from regular water, and they all have nice teeth. The second 2, he bought a filter, and they all have cavities. So he thinks it's because the water, the filter doesn't do, it takes a lot of...
That's true, all on the floor, right? Water on the floor, I see.
So I don't know, I mean, that's what he told me, so I'm kind of confused now.
Well, you
see, he's a doctor, so.
Also, the youngest children that he has is weaker than the first 3. they're nutritionally more deficient than the first three. Each successive generation is weaker than the previous one. Okay? 1 second there. Hello? No, not to Mike. If I make it in, it's supposed to be a radio interview, call in. But I will let you know at 11 o'clock what I'm going to make it in. I'm not sick, but I'm doing a bunch of things. Got some guests working with. So I'll let you know at 11 o'clock. All right. Bye-bye. Radio station, want to know if I'm coming in.
Speak on the radio?
Yeah, we do that a lot of times.
Do you go to churches and speak?
Sure, if they want us.
Oh, I haven't got my church to invite you.
That would be nice.
He's the Elizabeth's church and they have a lot of cooking classes and they just come and speak and they have very
cool. Yeah. Okay. So In this little book, Counsels on Diet and Food, it says I should eat sparingly, thus relieving my system of unnecessary burden, and should encourage cheerfulness and give myself the benefits of proper exercise in the open air. I should bathe frequently and drink freely of what kind of water?
Soft
water. So even back in the 1800s, they understood the benefits of soft water. Thousands have died for want of pure water, pure air, who might have lived. These blessings they need in order to become well. If they would become enlightened and let medicine alone and occasion themselves to outdoor exercise and to air in their houses summer and winter and use soft water for drinking and bathing purposes, they would be comparatively well and happy instead of dragging out of a miserable existence.
So if I want to check the water in my house, I have to buy that machine and check it for, is it soft or hard?
Well, water is soft in degree. This one may be softer than this one. This one may be softer than this one. But the softest is your distill. So as to whether you want to operate within this medium or whether you want to get the softest one, it's entirely up to you.
So what about bottled water? You said you don't know about that
one. They have bottled distilled water, that's fine.
But it's like what you drink from plastic. The bottle, all the time, you buy them in plastic.
Right.
So that's another.
So apart from that, if you're going to drink bottled water, your distill is going to be your best. And you know, there's the issue with this leaching from the plastic container, but you know, there's just something you got to toss up and make a choice, a decision. You know, I mean, for years we've done it from the bottled distilled water. We bought it and drank it, and it didn't bother us per se, but we bought a distiller. We bought a distiller. E.J. Wagner, he says, in passing, let me say that tea and coffee contains alkaloids which are injurious to the nerves and stomach. I never drank either. What is nature's offering to the thirsty, and when distilled cannot be improved upon? It should always be taken when the stomach's empty. Okay. Alright. So distilled water has its fame back there. Distilled water is the only absolute pure water. When we think of the waste matter that must be washed out of the body, it will be seen that the purer the water, the better it will do its work. Makes sense. You don't ever wash your car with Kool-Aid, do you? Or Pepsi-Cola. Mm-hmm. Or your dishes and cook. You don't do that, do you?
No, but so many people hook that.
Or mellow yellow, Mountain Dew. You don't wash your vehicle with that.
Yeah,
that's
pepper.
Oh, that's the pepper, yeah.
Everybody
drinks
it.
Oh, yeah?
In everywhere. They go
Oh, yeah?
And that's
the pepper. Yeah, those are the highest in caffeine. They're after the caffeine, the energy. Yeah. The greatest care should be taken to secure absolutely clean water. That is water which is not contaminated with germs, animal organism, or excreta of animal. Distilled water is certain to be pure. That's John Harvey Kellogg. Okay, we're going to stop here at this point with water, and then I'm going to show you tomorrow practical aspect of water can get rid of heart attack, get rid of stroke in this nation. And we show you the process. And so when you leave here, you can help your friends and neighbors never to have another heart attack or stroke. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it will be nice. So let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for your blessings. We ask, Lord, that you will be with us as we continue on this journey. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.